Okay, second shear in terms of our alumni shear for KYHS. We are doing the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. We're going to be starting on the Mishnah Chav Beis Amud Beis. And before we start with the Mishnah, just a couple of words of introduction. I could have done this last week, but the truth of the matter is last week's shear can exist independent of a basic introduction. I think we all know this, but just in the event that everyone wants a crash course refresher. So basically the way Rosh Chodesh works is that Rosh Chodesh is going to be either on day 30 or on day 31 of the previous month. Everybody knows that the moon revolves around the earth. I've heard to the contrary. I've also heard that the earth is flat, but as far as we're concerned, so both the earth and the moon are circular, and they're even globes, shocking as it may seem. And the way that the moon revolves around the earth is that it goes around on an average of 29 and a half days, a little bit more than that. In the time of the Gemara, so they didn't have a way to describe seconds. So instead of describing seconds, so what they did, they took an hour and they divided to 1,080 portions. 1,080 happens to be a great number mathematically. It's divisible by many different numbers. So they took an hour and they divided by 1,080. So the average time that it takes the moon to go around the earth is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim. The 793 chalakim come out to approximately 43 minutes. You could do the math yourself, actually. But that is the amount of time that it takes on an average for the moon to go around the earth. It is not a perfectly circular motion, so it's not a perfect number, but that is a very good average. So how did they know that information? Not for now. It's a great question, and I actually can discuss a little bit more, but not for now. Now, in terms of making Rosh Chodesh, so now Rosh Chodesh is going to basically be the following. In theory, it'd be nice if Rosh Chodesh would come out 29 days, 12 hours, but it doesn't work that way because they want every month to be made up but comprised of whole days. And so what they would do is they would simply toggle between 29-30. So that every month would be made up of 29-30. And in doing so, you got to the average 29 and a half. As you can already guess, and if you are mathematically inclined, you know this to be so. This is an approximation. This is an oversimplification. Because there's also 43 minutes on top of that. Those 43 minutes accumulate pretty quickly. So this is not a perfect way to describe it, but it's a very good way to describe it. And it's a simple way to describe it. And so that means that at the end of every lunar month, at the end of every Chodesh, so you have one of two possibilities of what's going to be Rosh Chodesh. Either the month is going to be 29 days or 30 days, which means that Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 30th day, meaning 30 will now become day one, or Rosh Chodesh will be on the 31st day, 31 will be day one. Good. Now, in terms of just getting down the vocabulary, So if Rosh Chodesh is 29 days, if Rosh Chodesh is on the 30th day, and that means that the previous month was of 29 days, that's what's called in Halacha Chodesh Chaser. It is a deficient month. If, however, Rosh Chodesh is made up on the 31st day, so it's called Chodesh Maleh. Everything that we just said in the last couple of minutes, Chachmei Yisrael knew this. They knew these calculations. They knew it very well. On top of all that, there was also a process that they went through. And the process that they went through is that you would have Edom who would see the sliver of the new month. At the beginning of every new month, you would see a sliver of that new month. It is going down in the western horizon. And it is basically following the sun. So you're going to be seeing a sliver of that new moon. And so when Edom see that new moon, they're going to go to Basin. They're going to say that they saw the new moon. And based on that, Basin will then be Mekadosh of the new month. Now, is Basin working on the calculation? Or is Basin working on the Edus of the Edom? The answer is yes. And that means to say that the Basin would use a kind of like a blended method of using both. Not for now, and a discussion well into itself, exactly how that blend works. And what did Beis Din favor? Did they favor the Edom, or did they favor the calculations that they knew? And that is, there is a range of positions within the Rishonim in terms of how exactly Beis Din did it. All that stated now, so we have just the basic information that gets us to the fact that Rosh Chodesh can occur either on day 30 or on day 31. Good. With all that stated now, we are ready to go into the Gemara, and we start now here the Mishnah. The Mishnah opens up the following. Now, this Mishnah over here, we're in the second parak of Rosh Hashanah. And in the second parak of Rosh Hashanah, in the last sugya that we covered, that was from the beginning of the parak until the end of the Gemara. So last week. So we went over the fact that when witnesses come to Beis Din, So they needed character references. You needed another set of witnesses to come and say that these witnesses that are coming and testifying about the new month are in fact Edom Ksherim. Why do you need character witnesses? So go back to our shir last time, where we discussed it in greater detail, why exactly there was a need for character witnesses as well. Good. This Mishnah now is going to transition and move on to the next discussion, which is that once Beis Din has announced when the new month is, so there's just simply now a question of informing the Jewish population. Okay. B'mheira b'yameinu, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and we will be operating with the Kiddush HaChodesh in the way that it was done back in the day, so it will be a much simpler system. Now, I am not prophesizing nor telling you how it's going to look in the times of Mashiach, but I have an extraordinarily good feeling that once Beis Din is Mekadosh HaChodesh, we're all going to get a massive email, text, WhatsApp, however, so they will just simply put it on the website, Beis Din was Mekadosh this month. And so, obviously, in our modern form of communication, so all this becomes simple. But let's all go back to a time where communication was not that simple. And now, how do you send information out that is necessary right away? And you're going to send it miles and miles apart. So the Mishnah over here talks about a rather ingenious method in which they would do so. And we start with the Mishnah. And you can follow me over here because I have everything on the Mar Makom machine in terms of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off, V'rishona hayu masim masuos. So the way that Beis Din would inform the Jewish population, both living in Israel and even those living outside of Eretz Yisrael, is that they would light torches. And that means that they would go from mountaintop to mountaintop. It is such a beautiful scene. I wish I could picture it better and describe it better. But basically what would happen is on one mountaintop, they would light a torch. The people on the next mountaintop would then see that torch and then light that torch. And then would go on and on, miles and miles, where this information now is spread in terms of which day was Rosh Chodesh. Now, when exactly those torches would be lit, that's a big part of our discussion. We're going to get there in just a moment. Mishakilkulu akusim, however, what the kusim did. Now, the kusim are another group of sectarian Jews who are somewhat on the reservation, somewhat off the reservation. In the last Mishnah, we were discussing the baitusim, who were another sectarian group. Over here, our Mishnah describes the kusim. Now, when the Mishnah says the word kusim, so you know the Mishnah went through a lot of revision and a lot of censorship. So it could be that the Mishnah was talking not about the Kusim per se, but it was talking about some other fringe sectarian group. It doesn't really matter for the purposes of our shir, as we're just going through the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara. But anyway, right now we can simply describe them as a bunch of really bad people. So they did a bad thing. And we'll describe in just a moment what they did. So it kiddushu shluchim yotzim. So then at that point, going forward now, the torch method was no longer available. And so they had to go through a much slower method of informing the masses, and that is by foot. And they would send messengers out in order to tell everybody that the new month has been established. This is a much slower method. This is painstaking. Consider, like in the month of Nisan, where it's really important to know when Rosh Chodesh is. So the only way that the people were able to get informed in terms of Rosh Chodesh is however these people could travel by foot, and let's assume that they used animals as well, but in the short amount of time that they have. And by the way, these shluchim, as is going to become abundantly clear, they were limited to how far they could travel from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until Pesach. They were inhibited because they can't travel on Shabbos. Now, last week we talked about being Mechal Shabbos. That's true. That's in terms of establishing the new month. We have already established a new month. This is now at the point where we're just simply informing the people when Rosh Chodesh was. These shluchim cannot be Mechal Shabbos. Obviously, they cannot be Mechal Yontif. So, like, they're really limited in terms of how far they could travel. And that's a discussion that's going to occur later in terms of that limitation. We'll come back to that point. Ketzad hayu masim masuos. Now, the Mishnah over here takes a step back and goes back to the torches. And the Mishnah over here gives unbelievable detail. Even though the Mishnah just admitted that we no longer use this method, but the Mishnah just wants to give us details. Mevin klun sosha eruz aruchin. So they would bring these large cedar branches, v'kanim v'atzei shemen, olive oil, unaro shel pishtan, and flax to burn, v'korech m'mishicha. They would wrap the flax around the cedar wood, v'ol l'rosh ahar. They would go to the top of the mountain, omatzes ben esaor, and they would light the fire. Moluch u'mevi mala u'morid. And what they would do is they would take the torch and they would go up and down back and forth, like the same description in terms of how we shake the lulav on Sukkos. The mountain, the adjacent mountain, would see it. And then, with each mountain seeing the torch, they would now know that they have to light the torches as well. And here the mission goes through unbelievable detail. Details that really, the truth of the matter is, goes way over our head because we are geographically limited in terms of what we know. Mehar Mishka, they go from Har Mishka, probably that's the Mount of Olives. Lisartava, I don't know. Umisartava legrufanio, megrufan lechivrin, mechivrin lebeis bilton, umeis bilton, lozazamisham, elamoluch mevi, umalamorit, ashiurao, kolagol lefanov, kimedura saish. And this line of communication would go all the way to Bavel. Okay. Parenthetically, not even so parenthetically. Why would they go up and down, right, left? What was the purpose of that? So Tosus explains. Tosus is quoting a Yerushalmi. You can see the Tosus. I don't have it on the Mar Makamos. But Tosus quotes a Yerushalmi. And he says because people didn't want to confuse it with, let's say, for example, a shooting comet. A shooting comet, which obviously is only one directional. So once you see that the fire is going in multi directions, so you know it was a fire. And it was not some sort of natural phenomena. Okay, anyway. We start with the Gemara. And the Gemara begins, "My mashma de masin lishna dikurhu." How do I know that the word masin means to light a fire? The language of the Mishnah is masin masuos. Now, I translate it as lighting a fire. Now, that's not literally what the word means. The word means to lift or to carry. So, dikhtiv, so the Gemara says, okay, but we have a pasuk, "Vayisim David vanashav," and David and his men were masi'im. And if you look at Targum over there, v'ogdinan David. So Targum over there says that they lit a fire. Okay, what exactly the context was over there in the Navi. But anyway, you see that the word masin could also mean to light a fire. Tana Rabbana. And here we go, and this is going to take up the main part of tonight's shir. Ein masin masuos ela halachoda shenira bizmano lekacho. Ve'ein masai masin la'or ibura. Okay, now here, I made a chart. Okay, obviously with a little bit more time on my hands, so I get to do that these days. I get to make a chart. And if you take a look at the chart over here, so what I sketched out over here is the following. Day 29, day 30, day 31. Okay, and these are the evenings in between day 30 and day 31, and the evening after day 31. And the question the Gemara wants to now know is, when were the torches lit? And what the Braisa tells us, is that the torches are going to be lit specifically only on one night, the night after the time that the month was seen, bi'iburo. Now, bi'iburo, or to quote it a little bit better, bizmano. Now, bizmano, exactly what that means. So Rashi explains, and I'm not going to read the Rashi inside, but take a look at the chart over here, as the chart explains it really nicely. Okay, I went, by the way, the arrows indicate which direction you should be looking at. Day 29, obviously, is not a day that's going to be Rosh Chodesh, obviously. Right, go back to the first chart. Rosh Chodesh can either be day 30 or day 31. So day 29 obviously cannot become Rosh Chodesh. There are only two possible days that could become Rosh Chodesh, and that's day 30 or day 31. And now in terms of when do we light the fire, so the Braisa says, this is it. We're lighting the fire only on the night of the 31st, the night after the 30th. That is the only time that we're going to be lighting the fire. Now if you're following, that means the following. It means that the only time they're lighting the fire is only if Rosh Chodesh was declared on the 30th. What if Rosh Chodesh was declared on the 31st? It's very simple. If Rosh Chodesh was declared on the 31st, no fire would be lit. So now, if you're on the receiving end of the message, here's what you now know. If I'm lighting a fire on the night of the 30th, on the night of the 31st, meaning this night right here, so now I know. Beis Din declared the 30th day to be Rosh Chodesh. If, however, no fire was lit on that night, so that means now that Beis Din did not declare as Rosh Chodesh, but rather what happened is that the 31st day is declared as Rosh Chodesh, and this night there's going to be an absence of a fire. We're not going to be lighting a fire that night. Okay. That is what the Braisa just taught us together. Now, the Gemara's question, probably if you're following me well, you're going to be asking the Gemara's next question. Let's see the Gemara inside. Ein masin masuos, I'm just rereading the Braisa. Ein masin masuos el al chodesh anir v'zmanu kacho. And when is it lit? La'or iburo. Like I just explained over here. Now, la'memra, and so the Gemara now arrives at the conclusion that I already spelled out for all of us. So that means to say, da'achaser avdinan. Amale lo avdinan. The only time that the fire is lit is only this night, not this night. So, my taima. And the Gemara's question is really simple. Look, this is just really a form of communication. So why does it have to be that we're only lighting on this night, on the night between the 30th and the 31st? Meaning, if the system is just a system of communication, why don't they just simply invoke the following? Light on the night of the 30th, and the night after the 30th, if Beis Din declares the 30th to be Rosh Chodesh, and light on the night after the 31st, if Beis Din declares the 31st to be Rosh Chodesh. Why is the system set up where we're only lighting on one night and not on the other night? That's the Gemara's question. It's a pretty straightforward question. Amar Rabbi Zeira. So the Gemara gives the following explanation. Gzeira mishum Rosh Chodesh chaser shechalios be'erev Shabbos. So there is a concern of the following. Now here I charted this out as well. And you can take a look now at this chart. And the Gemara says, here's what I'm concerned with. What happens now if, let's say, the 30th day comes out to be a Friday? And let's say Beis Din decided that that day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So now we enter into the following dilemma. The dilemma is going to be that that night is Friday night. Now, this is not being Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh. This is just simply informing the masses that Rosh Chodesh has been established. Can I light the lights on Friday night? The answer is going to be unequivocally no. Cannot. Lighting the fire is Chilul Shabbos. The only allowance of Chilul Shabbos is only to establish Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh has already been established. So you can't light the lights on Friday night. And so the Gemara says, because of this concern, it's not a concern, meaning it's a possibility. It's a real possibility that this will happen. So therefore, we can't be lighting on both nights, because then everyone's going to be good and confused. And the Gemara is going to spell out now the confusion. The Gemara says, "Gzera mishum Rosh Chodesh chaser shechalios be'erev Shabbos." Emosai avdei. So what are we supposed to do now? Be'afuke Shabbosah. So the only time that you can light now is Motzei Shabbos. Diamar navid nami amale asu. Now consider what we were suggesting. Light on the 30th, light on the night after the 30th, if 30th is Rosh Chodesh. Light on the night after the 31st, if the 31st is Rosh Chodesh. But now in this circumstance where Rosh Chodesh, which was on the 30th, comes out on a Friday, so now there's no way that the fire can properly communicate. Because consider, says the Gemara, so the Iyamart Navid Nami Amale Asu, because if we were lighting a fire both the night after the 30th and the night after the 31st, Limite Amre, people are going to say, Hai Chaser Hu, well, I don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. It could have been Friday was Rosh Chodesh. V'hai de lo avida, me'asmol, and why didn't they light the fire on Friday night? Mishum de lo efshar, because they couldn't. So, odom amalihu, or the other possibility is that no, Shabbos was declared to be Rosh Chodesh. Uvizmano avdo, and they're lighting the fire in the right time. So, if we were to light both after the 30th and after the 31st, meaning if either one of them is declared to be Rosh Chodesh, so then in this circumstance, by lighting on Motzei Shabbos, people do not know whether it was the 30th day, which was Rosh Chodesh, or the 31st day. That's why we can't do both. Okay. To which the Gemara says, that part now I understand. V'le'avid bein amale bein achaser. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's reset the question. Let's say that we should be lighting both after amale and after achaser, like we originally suggested. V'chimit le Rosh Chodesh b'erev Shabbos l'le'avid klal. And now, in this circumstance, right over here, here should be the solution. When Beis Din decided that the 30th day is going to be Rosh Chodesh, and it also happens to coincide with a Friday, so I got the solution, says the Gemara. And that is, obviously Friday night you're not going to light. And you know what, Motzei Shabbos? Also don't light. Meaning, and now, here's what the community will now know. If Shabbos turned out to be Rosh Chodesh, they would have lit on Motzei Shabbos. But by virtue of the fact that they didn't light on Motzei Shabbos, that now informs us that it must have been Friday. Can't you do that, says the Gemara? So the Gemara says, I don't think so. V'chi mikla Rosh Chodesh, I'm sorry, v'kem edol abdina, motzei Shabbos, abdina male, mediyad dechaser hu. Afilo hachi asu lemite. The Gemara says, no, because that's still going to be confusing. Amre, people are going to say, hi male hu. No, the truth of the matter is that really it's a male month. V'hai delo avdei, and the reason why people did not light a motzei Shabbos is nusei hu diz nasei. And no one has happened, something that happened, circumstances beyond their control. It is a fantastic Rashi. I didn't put it on the Mar Mekomos, but if you have a Gemara in front of you, you could see it. So Rashi writes over here, What was the ones? So Rashi says, because, look, we just went through Shabbos. People drink on Shabbos. And it could be that the people who were responsible for lighting the lights on Motzei Shabbos were still trying to sober up from the Shabbos experience. Now, of course, I'm going to admit that's a little bit strange, but that's how Rashi explains the Gemara over there. Okay, so where we stand right now in the Gemara, as we're about to finish, is that the Gemara recognizes that the only way that you're going to have real clarity in terms of which day was Rosh Chodesh is only if we choose one of the nights to light, either this night or this night, the night after the 30th or the night after the 31st. If we do both, when I say both, you understand, I don't mean both. I mean, if we're going to go with either, so then we're going to end up in this circumstance, and people are just simply going to get confused for the reasons that the Gemara just articulated. One more question that we're going to do together in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "V'le'avid amale v'lo le'avid achaser klal." Okay, look, here's what we just realized together. That in order for Beis Din to be able to have this clarity, so that nobody will be confused which day is Rosh Chodesh, so they got to pick a night, either the night after the 30th or the night after the 31st. But it can't be both. So the Gemara says, okay, so look, we chose. So they chose the night after the 30th. If the whole purpose over here was just to create clarity, we could do the same thing, but instead of having the lights lit after the 30th, why don't you have the light lit specifically after the 31st? And here's what we'll say. If Beis Din decided to make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh, no lights. And if Beis Din decided to make the 31st day Rosh Chodesh, so then we'll light on Motzei Shabbos. And as far as the confusion, no one's going to be confused because we're only lighting after the 31st. The Gemara says, why don't we do that way? And the Amar Rabbi and the Gemara's answer, Mishum bitu malacha la'am shnei yamim. Because if we do that, so then there will be bitu malacha for the nation for 2 days. Now, there are two ways to explain the Abai's answer over here. One is Rashi and the other is Tosfos. And tonight we're going to go through Rashi and we're going to go through Tosfos. And we're just going to spend a couple of minutes discussing both of these positions. First, let's start together with Rashi. Rashi says like this, Amar Abai Mishum Bitu Malacha, V'lo Garsin and Gzera, Iyamar Navid Amale V'lo Achasein Lecha Rosh Hashanah, Shein Mevatlin B'nei Agolim Imlacha Shnei Yamim, Yom Shloshim, Shema Hayom Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi says, what's Abai's responding to? What happens if we're talking about the transition from Elul to Tishrei? Now, that's not just any Rosh Chodesh. That's, of course, Rosh Hashanah. Here's what's going to happen, says Rashi. What's going to happen is that if we work with the system where we don't light after the night of the 30th, but we light after the night of the 31st, so people going into the day of the 30th, what are they thinking? Today may be Rosh Hashanah, meaning today is the possibility that Beis Din will be Mekadesh. And if they're Mekadesh today will be Rosh Hashanah. Now, v'yom shloshim v'achad shema ibru sechodesh v'ayom Rosh Hashanah. Now, what's going to happen is that they're going to observe the 30th day to be Rosh Hashanah, but then, on that night, between 30 and 31, if they saw no lights, so now what are they going to do? They're going to have to observe the next day also as Rosh Hashanah. Avakiyav dinam asun sechasar lor yom shloshim, but Rashi explains. But if we go with the system which we do go with, which is that we're going to light the lights between day 30 and 31, so then problem solved. Meaning the Jewish people are going to observe the 30th day as Rosh Hashanah, and if the lights are in fact lit, so now they know, that's it. Rosh Hashanah has come and gone. And the next day is going to be the second day of Tishrei, and it's obviously not going to be Rosh Hashanah. And Rashi continues, and Rashi says, "Aval ki avdin masu asachas liyor yom shloshim, yadu shebi yom shloshim nikva." Now the people are going to know that the 30th day is Rosh Hashanah, v'yasu mach l'malach l'machar. And the next day they'll just simply go to work. Ve'im betelin shnei yamim ela b'me'ubar. And the only time that they're going to lose 2 days for Rosh Hashanah is only if Beis Din decides that this year we're going to make Elul an Iber month, a longer month, and then we're going to lose 2 days of work. But under normal circumstances, we're only going to lose 1 day of work. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Now, just if I can resolve a little bit of confusion, everyone knows that nowadays we observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Not only that, nowadays, in Eretz Yisrael, we observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It sounds like from the Gemara over here that Rosh Hashanah should be observed 1 day. So, I'm going to give a very simple explanation right now, and I'm oversimplifying, but it's fine for our purposes. And that is, we do observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah nowadays, and we do that in Eretz Yisrael as well. That has nothing to do with this piece of Gemara over here. That has to do with another Gemara that came historically at a later point in time. And the observance of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah has to do with an entirely different issue, which is not our Gemara. Our Gemara is operating with the correct assumption, which once upon a time was, that Rosh Hashanah was only one day. And so therefore, what we gain, says Rashi, by lighting the fire over here, is that if Beis Din decided to make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh, so now the fires will be lit that motzei Rosh Hashanah, and now everyone knows that next day is the second day of Tishrei. Everybody can go to work, and you don't have to take 2 days off for Yontif. And then Rashi points out that in the event that Beis Din decides that 30th day is not going to be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, 31st day, fine. So in that year, so there will be 2 days observance of Rosh Hashanah. But under normal circumstances, there will only be 1 day observance of Rosh Hashanah. That is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. So that means to say that the way Rashi understands Abaye is that the reason why we don't light the fire on the night after the 31st and only the night after the 30th is only because of this one Rosh Chodesh opportunity, and that is otherwise known as Rosh Hashanah. That's Rashi. Really interesting Tosfos over here. Tosfos says you don't have to limit Abaye's answer to just one Rosh Chodesh in the year. The truth of the matter is, says Tosfos, is that we could be describing every single Rosh Chodesh. Now that's going to be a little bit tricky, because if you go back to Abaye's answer and you read it again carefully, Mishum bito malacha la'am shnei yamim. Abaye says, well, if we light the night after the 31st, it may result in 2 days of bito malacha. Rashi's explanation is beautiful, because he's describing Rosh Hashanah where there's an Isser Malacha. According to Tosfos, what Isser Malacha is there on a standard Rosh Chodesh? Let's see Tosfos inside. Tosfos writes the following: Mishum bitul malacha la'am shnei yamim, perish bekuntres, ein lecha Rosh Hashanah sheim esvatlim b'nei golam imlacha beis yamim. I'm going to read this quickly because this is a restatement of Rashi. Bein amalei bein achaser aval ki avdei achaser yadeshe b'yom shoshim nikva v'yasu malacha l'machar ulechinam dachak lefareish Rosh Hashanah. And as far as Tosfos is concerned, Rashi over here didn't have to go to Rosh Hashanah. De akol Rosh Chodesh kai. Tosfos says it's going on every single Rosh Chodesh. Ki lo hayu regilim lasos malacha b'Rosh Chodesh kedamina beperaka kares ha-megillah omed. And Tosfos over here cites the Gemara in Megillah. And the Gemara in Megillah says that there was a practice, there was a custom not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. And Tosfos goes and explains. And this idea that there was a custom not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, so actually could be expressed in the laning on Rosh Chodesh. You go to Shul on Rosh Chodesh, how many people called up to the Torah? The answer is 4. Why 4? So you see very clearly in the Mishnah in Megillah that every time you're adding an aliyah, meaning a standard Monday and Thursday is going to be 3. Every time you're adding an aliyah, it's an expression that this day has more kedusha. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed has 4 aliyahs. Yom Tov has 5 aliyahs. Yom Kippur has 6 aliyahs. Shabbos has 7 aliyahs. Every additional aliyah speaks to the idea that there's a certain kedusha tayom. Urigil lamar shehosif hamakom Yom Tov lenashim b'Rosh Chodesh. And Tosfos over here cites. Now I know we all heard this at one point or another, but Tosfos cites that the minig was is that women would not do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. And Tosfos quotes bischar shalon istrasu al maisa ha'egel. The women did not give up their jewelry at Chet HaEgel. They didn't want to give their jewelry, and they were rewarded by not having to do Malach on Rosh Chodesh. What is the connection? That's a great question. It's something to be discussed on a different occasion. But that is Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara. So Tosfos says that as a result of that, so that is what Abaye meant when he said that if we go about not lighting the fires over here on the night after the 30th, but the night after the 31st, so what men may end up happening is that the women on Rosh Chodesh will not do malacha on these 2 days. And that is why Abaye says this way we do it is preferable. Good. That's Tosfos. And for a minute now, let's just think about Tosfos for a second, and let's ponder this idea behind Tosfos. Meaning, what is the benefit of Rashi's explanation? It's actually very simple. Rashi over here, where he's limiting the Gemara's answer to Rosh Hashanah, so it's really good, because according to Rashi, we're talking about a Yontov Midaraisa. There is a Chilul Malacha, there is an Isser Malacha on Yontov that's min haTorah. And so therefore, we don't want people to be Mevata Malacha, neither on day 30 and on day 31, if we go with the system of lighting the night after the 31st, That's 2 days of bitul malacha. And for this, the Chachamim felt it was right to make a gzera. But according to Tosfos, let's think about what Tosfos is saying. Because of a minag Yisrael, meaning this idea that Tosfos expresses, that women don't do malach on Rosh Chodesh. It's really nice. It's special. I happen not to know a single woman in my life who observes this minag. But it's a minag. Tosfos quotes it. So this minag, because of this minag, so the Chachamim are ready to make a gzera, make a rabbinic decree, so that women will not have to observe this minag for 2 consecutive days. Now, on one hand, you know the benefit of Tosfos, in that the gzera is now made for every single Rosh Chodesh. On the other hand, the entire gzera is enacted because of a minag? That's a little bit strange. We're not talking about an issa daraisa. Meaning, what happens if a woman does malach on Rosh Chodesh? The answer is, they're violating a minag, and again, a minag that's not even practiced nowadays, they're violating a minag, but we're not talking about a bona fide isser. And so for Tosfos to explain our Gemara over here based on a minag, that seems a little bit strange. What I could suggest within Tosfos, it's just merely a suggestion, is the following. It's based on a Ran. The Ran is in Psachim. It happens to be that I've quoted the Ran in other contexts as well. It is a popular Ran. It's discussed on a number of occasions. The Ran says, he's discussing the issue of when to recline during the Dalakosos. The Gemara says that the mitzvah to recline during Dalakosos is either during the first 2 or the latter 2. But the Gemara does not come to a conclusion in terms of which way to do it. And so therefore, what should be the practice? When should we be reclining during the Dalakosos? The conclusion is that we should be reclining during all 4 kosos. The Ran there in the Gemara in Pesachim asks a really simple question. Why? The mitzvah of Dalakosos is a mitzvah derabanan. It's not a mitzvah deraisa. And we don't know which of the 2 should we be reclining. The first 2 or the latter 2. So we're talking about a mitzvah derabanan. And now what? And now we're going to be machmir on a din derabanan. We're going to do a seba for all 4 kosos. That sounds a little bit strange for a din derabanan. But the Ran writes that as far as he's concerned, the conclusion is very sound. That you should be doing a seber for all 4. Why? Because, in neko b'tarvayu, I'm just quoting the end of that line of the Ran, in neko b'tarvayu, ha-mikar mitzvah ha-seber l'gamre. Because let's consider, let's say we're mekel. What does mekel mean? Mekel means, well, I don't know which ones to recline for, so you know what? I won't recline at all. Well, that's an absurdity, says the Ran, because then we're going to lose the mitzvah of a seba altogether. So that's not an option. Meaning to be makel and lose the mitzvah of Haseba for the Dalakosos is simply not an option, because then we're going to lose the mitzvah of Haseba altogether. Okay. The Ran is worthy of much further discussion. But anyway, that's the idea behind the Ran. And so perhaps over here in terms of Tosfos, admittedly we're not even talking about a mitzvah de Rabbanim, we're talking about a minug, that women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. But still, the idea is over here is that for the minug of women not doing malacha on Rosh Chodesh, so it's worth it for the Chachmei Yisrael to now make an institution, a gzera, so that we don't lose the minug altogether. Meaning we want women to observe the minug. And if we're just simply going to be mekel and tell the women, well, look, we don't know which day is Rosh Chodesh, so you know what, don't do malacha altogether. So then we're going to lose the minug altogether. So for that, the Chachamim said, even though it's a minug, you should observe the minug on the first day of what possibly may be Rosh Chodesh. It's a suffix. We don't even know if today's Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, but if they don't observe it, so then they may lose that minug altogether. And for that, it's worthwhile that they're going to do the minug even though it's just a suffix. Okay, that could be behind behind Tosfos. Let's quickly recap our evening. We went through a basic introduction in terms of understanding Rosh Chodesh, how it could either be day 30 or day 31. We went through the Gemara, the Mishnah, and the Gemara in terms of what was the original way after Beis Din was Mekadesh Chodesh. How did they transmit that information to the masses? And a beautiful picture of fires being sent from mountain to mountain because of a group of, the Mishnah describes them as kusim, but in other words, they really messed with our communication system. What they must have done, by the way, is they must have lit fires on any given night, even though Beis Din didn't establish it to be Rosh Chodesh. So then they went with the slower method of having to go on foot or by horse. and they no longer went with this method. The Gemara went through a great puzzle in terms of trying to figure out when they would light the fire. And the Braisa tells us that they lit the fire on the night after the 30th, but only the night after the 30th. Meaning, if Beis Din decided the 30th day to be Rosh Chodesh, they would light the fire the night subsequent. If Beis Din decided to light after the 31st, Beis Din would not be lighting fires. And then what we did in the Gemara is explain why didn't they just simply light on both nights? And the explanation is because if they did so, so then when 30th falls out on Friday, confusion would result. Because when the fires were lit on Motzei Shabbos, the masses would simply not know which day was Rosh Chodesh, was it Friday or was it Shabbos? An absence of it also doesn't prove anything. That would be a false negative result, because it could be people just simply say, look, they were drunk, they weren't even sober, that's why they didn't light. And so therefore, the only system that was foolproof is only lighting the fire on the night between the 30th and the 31st. And then finally, what we did tonight is we explain, why not choose the night after the 31st? Meaning you have to light only one night, why not the night after the 31st? And the Gemara's explanation is that not the night after the 31st, because if they did that, so then there would be bittul malacha for 2 days. And then we went through two explanations of what that means, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi explains that to mean that describing Rosh Hashanah, and that means to say that if we only lit after the third night of the 31st, people then may have to be observing 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and if it's avoidable, we should avoid it. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos doesn't like it, because then you're only explaining one Rosh Chodesh of the year. To make a gzera for one Rosh Chodesh of the year, that sounds a little bit strange. And Tosfos relates it to the minug of women not doing malacha on Rosh Chodesh. And for that, says Tosfos, it's worth it to institute lighting only between the 30th and 31st, so that women do not have to be observing two days of bittul malacha because of this minug. And then the last thing we just explained is this idea behind Tosfos. Well, why are the women observing this minug of not doing malacha when we're not even sure it's Rosh Chodesh, it's just a suffix? And as I suggested, possibly using the idea of the Ran, is because if they did that, they would lose that minug altogether, and even though it's a suffix, we would rather not lose a minug altogether.